Hi there.
We are friends.
And we're about to have a conversation.
Please don't take us too seriously.
All right then.
Life is crazy and the least we can do is talk about it. Conversations with Friends. Only on The Podcaster.
Okay, before you go ahead with the rest of the podcast, we're very happy to be back with Conversations with Friends, but even more delighted to tell you that the Chandrayaan 3 mission, with the soft landing of the Vikram lander, executed a perfect landing at the Lunar South Pole region, joining the exclusive club of countries that have achieved a soft landing on the moon, also making India the only country to successfully execute a soft landing on the southern pole of the moon. So it's been a roaring success, and before you dive into the conversation about what it all means, some amazing facts about the Chandrayaan 3 mission, and of course some banter between Neerja and I, did want to take a minute to talk about the significance of this successful soft landing. Now Pragyan, which is the rover launched by Vikram, the lander, is all set to explore the moon's surface, gathering invaluable data and images that are going to be transmitted back to Earth. Honestly, very trippy how we're sitting on Earth and looking at images from a different planet. But there are some goals to this mission. It's not just about putting India on the moon. And one of the most exciting goals is actually the hunt for water-based ice. Now, the presence of water on the moon was confirmed by the Chandrayaan 1 mission back in 2008. And whatever data comes through from Chandrayaan 3 is going to be a total game changer for the future of space exploration. I mean, it could potentially support human habitation, serve as a resource for spacecraft propulsion, and unlock new possibilities for deep space travel. So Chandrayaan 3 is really all about taking the conversation about the atmosphere and life on the moon to a whole other level. Through all of the scientific instruments that the lander and rover are equipped with, we're going to learn a lot more about the moon's surface, its atmosphere, and even what's happening beneath the surface. So yeah, I think I've exhausted my minute, but we have to celebrate our successes, don't we? Here's to Chandrayaan 3 and, of course, another conversation with Friends.
You wish you could talk to someone, a friend? Well, we're here. Conversations with Friends. Let's talk about it all.
Well, well, well.
What are we here for?
Moon, moon, moon. Otherwise obscene, yeah. But in today's context, extremely iconic, yeah. And really, really exciting for everyone. Neerja,
yes.
If you could,
uh-huh.
Would you?
Yeah.
Actually live mm-hmm. on the moon?
100%.
No doubt.
I mean, I would find it difficult to breathe, I imagine, but I'd figure it out.
You would figure it out, yes.
No, but this is the result of my age-old obsession with all things space and sending things into space, and I'm all for what's out there.
I love that you're all for what's out there, but you talk about the ocean and you're like, nope.
The ocean is too vast and scary. 97%.
More vast than the galaxy?
Well, I guess you can equate the two, but 97% of creatures in the ocean have not been discovered.
That's
and I guess
true.
You can say the same thing for space as well, but at least you know a little something. And now we can send things to places like the moon.
Yep, that's what we're talking about today on Conversations with Friends. It's been a long time, but yeah. It took something this big for us to come back, and we just had to talk about it, which is Chandrayaan 3.
Yay!
No, it is a really big deal. It's like very, very interesting. It's you were rattling off some facts and I just couldn't believe it. The Christopher Nolan one, you have to tell everyone that.
Oh my gosh. So it actually cost more to make Interstellar than it did to send an actual thing to space, a lander to space.
Mr. Nolan, you need to reevaluate things.
Seriously, $164 million to make Interstellar, but only $74 million to send Chandrayaan 3 to the moon.
But Chandrayaan 3 is pretty much the only thing anyone in the country, India, which is where we're located.
The talk of the universe.
Yeah.
I'm sure aliens are talking about it as well.
No, it's really interesting. So we're basically attempting to do a soft landing.
Yes.
Today, the 23rd of August, and we'll see how this pans out, people. But on the 23rd of August, we're attempting to do a soft landing off this lander.
Yes.
On the southern pole of the the moon so that we can then collect data about, you know, the soil, the rocks, etc., etc.
Because the southernmost part of the moon hasn't been explored as much as the other parts, I think.
That's sad. And also, if it's successful, India would be the first country to actually land a lander on
which
the
is what a
pole.
Lander is meant to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, Chandrayaan 2 didn't, so...
Burn.
But that was a very heartbreaking time for everyone in the country, especially the ISRO scientists. I think we've all seen the videos of like when the news came of the lander crashing and everyone just bursting into tears because it was so many years of just hard work.
It was sad.
But $75 million and 23rd August, 2 years later, no, 4 years later, here we are. So today is the soft landing, which got me to thinking, what is a hard landing? Then you confirmed that there is, in fact, something called a hard landing. So what is this all about?
As the world's foremost expert in scientific data related to space, is that a designation?
We should have instead said, scientist from ISRO talks to us about Chandrayaan 3.
That would have been more credible, but it would also be a lie. So a soft landing apparently is where you attempt to land as you will, and a hard landing is when you just crash into the object.
What?
Yeah, you would think a hard landing is a confident landing, but it's
so
not.
So no one's ever done a hard landing into a planet, right?
The aim of a soft landing is essentially to land without things going awry.
Okay.
So that you can carry out your mission.
Yeah, I hope that happens today at 6:04 p.m.
Yeah, so here's how the mission is going to go, right?
Okay.
The lander is about 2 meters and just over 1,700 kgs, which is a lot, which is roughly the size of an SUV. And it's set to deploy a smaller 26 kg lunar rover.
What?
Now, this tiny little rover is probably like the R2-D2 of the mission, right? It's going to go off into the vastness of the moon and collect data. It's like a mini explorer.
Yeah.
Cute.
I mean, a lot of countries have been trying this. India tried it in 2019, right? You said?
Yeah.
It's been something, it's like the race to the moon is like a very legit thing in today's day and age. And I think it's great that we've even gotten this far. I know that everyone's rooting for it to be successful, which is, you know, that is the end goal. But the fact that we've gotten so far is to send a little body from here all the way into outer space.
And there's just so much like pressure on it as well, you know, for things not to go wrong, because so many things have to go right to ensure that Chandrayaan 3 is a success. And so the name of this lander that's going to be landing on the moon is called Vikram.
Vikram. Relatable.
Relatable, right?
The guy next door. But you know what's really fun about Vikram though? So, okay, in 2019, when the whole thing started, it starts with commands, right? So imagine you type something into a computer and like literally sci-fi movie scenes come to life and something launches into outer space. It's all great. This time, the commands are starting from Bangalore because ISRO, right? One of our colleagues cracked a very funny joke. There is a possibility of the soft landing being postponed to what, the 27th of August?
27th of August.
Just in case. And our colleague very wisely said, oh yes, they're just anticipating a lot of traffic. Huh? So when it comes to the commands thing, there is something called 20 minutes of terror because apparently Vikram is going to descend towards the moon's surface at a velocity of 1.68 kilometers per second.
10 times faster than an airplane. I can't even imagine going at that speed. But I guess it will have to.
Can you imagine traveling 1.68 kilometers in a second? You'd reach anywhere in Bangalore, given that we're talking about traffic.
Yeah.
You'd reach any place in Bangalore in like 5 minutes max.
Something needs to be done down here.
Yes, please.
To speed things up.
But how does it actually deploy? Like 20 minutes of terror?
Yeah.
Well, what's happening there?
That sounds really daunting, honestly, for anybody that's operating it. But basically, in 11 and a half minutes, the engines on Chandrayaan 3 will ignite. Right?
I love that you put on your like directorial voice. You're like, imagine this.
You know there's going to be a movie about it.
Yes.
So apparently this is like gently tapping the brakes on a bicycle.
Wow.
So you're gradually slowing it down. And that's the only way to ensure that it lands gently as opposed to hardly.
I have never felt more FOMO and not being able to know how to ride a cycle.
You don't?
I don't. We can learn now. Ooh. And then I can operate Chandrayaan 3.
That's the qualification, yes, that we're looking for at the Universal Society for Scientists of Space, which is where I'm from. It's like a video game.
Oh.
Right? I assume they have controllers.
So you let gravity do your thing, do its thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're like also controlling it with braking.
What's the scene on gravity on the moon, by the way?
I mean, it doesn't exist. Doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't exist. But on the way to the moon, it exists.
Yeah.
So they do have to factor that in.
I think we've lost all scientific backing on this episode.
What? Are you trying to tell me you're not the foremost scientific expert in the world?
I am. But together, it's hard for us to...
I have single-handedly brought down the IQ of this entire... This is Space for Dummies. Here's my thing, though. This huge thing, 1,700 kgs, and then like a 26 kilogram object is detaching itself, and then there's going to be a soft landing on the celestial object. What could go wrong?
A lot could go wrong.
Really?
Yes.
That's not what I wanted to hear.
There's just so much that needs to go right that even if one thing goes wrong, the whole thing could go wrong. For Chandrayaan 3, the biggest challenge is dropping the speed, mm-hmm, when it's trying to land from 1.68 kilometers per second, which, right, which we were both mind blown about.
Yeah.
So dropping that speed, then changing direction and bringing it to zero for that soft landing. All of that needs to happen in such a small amount of time.
Yeah, windows are very, very tiny.
Yeah, so it's a nail-biting scenario. And given how it went the last time in 2019, there's a lot at stake. But I'm sure there's been a bunch of things they've learned from that. And I have faith that it's going to work out. I'm really hoping we run into some aliens, to be honest. Did you know? I like how you're looking at me like, wait. I thought we were marveling at the...
You suddenly, started like scrolling through your phone. So I'm like, what are you pulling out now?
No, so I have some fun facts about the moon.
Okay.
Which I thought was rather interesting because sometimes you wonder why the moon, right?
Why the moon?
Why? Why don't we try the sun? Which we are, by the way. Did you know there's something planned for the sun?
100% that's not going to be a hard landing. Imagine crashing into the sun. The sun would just be like, bye.
You think you can do a soft landing on the sun?
I don't think you should land on the sun, period. But yeah, we'll have to be able to figure that out. Can you imagine the material that would have to be used to protect whatever object it is floating next to the sun?
Yeah, that sounds insanely impossible.
Yeah, it literally does not seem likely, but anyway.
Well, it is happening.
Please, let's play Why the Moon.
Okay, so the sun and the moon look about the same size, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the moon is 400 times smaller. So the reason why it looks the same size as the sun is because it is also 400 times closer.
I feel the size of half a speck of dust. When I hear about things like this.
Yeah.
I love it though. I love feeling so small.
We're but tiny little specks in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. We're all aliens to somebody.
Yes.
So now that I've given you this fun fact,
okay,
to preface what's coming,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to give you a bunch more and I want to see if you can figure out if these are true or false.
Okay.
Okay. So did you know the moon was created when a rock the size of Mars slammed into Earth? It was a hard landing there. And this happened shortly after the solar system began to form about 4.5 billion years ago. Do you believe the moon is that old and that it was created as a result of a collision?
4.5 billion years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it must be more, surely.
So you think I'm lying about the time duration, this happened?
Yeah. That it was formed as a result of a collision. That I can believe. But it's, mm-hmm, not an asteroid. Okay, yeah, fine.
It's a chunk of floating matter,
yeah,
in space.
So, what is it?
It's true.
It's true?
Yes.
4.5 billion years ago?
I wasn't lying. I like how the only thing you thought I lied about was the time it happened. 4.5 billion years ago seems believable.
And it hit Earth.
It hit Earth. A rock the size of Mars crashed into Earth and the moon was formed as a result of that collision.
Love that. And yeah. I think that's such a testament to the moon's spirit that it's the only thing that survived that crash.
Yeah.
And it like became this pretty little thing.
And it's almost like a part of the Earth.
Yeah.
Just somewhere else. That's sad, actually.
Okay.
It was separated at birth. To add to that, mm-hmm, did you know that the moon is actually getting closer and closer to the Earth? Maybe it feels some kind of void. wants to reunite. It's moving by 3.78 centimeters every year.
I'm defo going to be dead by the time it's like even halfway close to the Earth. So I'm just going to... So what was the question? True or false?
Is it true or false? Not about your existential crisis and whether or not you're going to survive.
What was the question? Is that true or false?
Is it getting closer to the Earth?
By 3.78 centimeters?
Every year. And that's roughly the same rate at which your fingernails grow.
What?
That changes everything, doesn't it?
It really does. I'm going to say that's false.
It is false.
Yes.
It's actually moving further away.
Oh.
It's leaving us.
It's like separated at birth. Don't want to be near you. That's strange though. Why is that happening? Is that just because of like orbital force or whatever?
This is something I'll have to consult the other scientists about.
Got it. It's not your area of expertise.
It's not my area of expertise.
Got you.
But yeah, these are just some fun facts about the moon.
That's what it is. The moon is just this huge thing. I know that we're used to seeing it, like just looking up at the sky and looking at this cute ball of light.
Through binoculars.
Nija was obsessed, I mean, is obsessed with space, but like would look at planets through binoculars, which I found out today that you can do that.
You can do that with really powerful ones. Of course, it's nothing like having a telescope. That's what I would prefer. But
my dad didn't get me a telescope.
Yeah. Daddy wasn't on board with that.
But I just think that we're so used to seeing the moon as this like little staple every night, just in the sky, like different shapes, but always lit up. That I think it's incredible that we're now venturing out and trying to do the damn thing and just find out about life outside of us. Because it truly is such a vast space that we don't know anything about.
This mission is nerve-wracking though, because I feel like those 20 minutes of terror or 15 minutes of terror, it's all gonna come down to that. And there's so much like effort and money that's gone into making sure that those 15 minutes go okay. So I think that's why there's so much contention about when they want to go ahead and do the soft landing, because it could be today, the 23rd of August. It could also be the 27th.
But you know what's really
August.
Strange is that the 24th of August is apparently the darkest night.
Is that the opposite of a full moon?
Where it's basically like it's the darkest night of the year. That's going to be exciting.
That is going to be exciting.
Also, it's strange. That's like symbolic in some weird way. I'm not drawing the connection though. You guys can do the interpretation.
What do you mean by you guys? The scientists?
Oh, yes.
But I guess we're going to have to do a part two to this episode and come back on how the whole thing goes.
Yeah, I mean, whether it succeeds or whether it fails, that either way, it's something to talk about. So, but to be honest, we are definitely rooting
for little Vikram.
For little Vikram, oh my gosh. For little Vikram and for every scientist that really put in so much of their heart into this entire thing. It's already an incredible achievement that we've reached this far. So here's to Chandrayaan 3, and we will know by 6:04 p.m. on the 23rd of August.
Here's to the moon and back.
This has been a Conversations with Friends on the Podcaster, powered by Timber Media.